Hello, everyone. This is Blake Ruby. I am the author of The Great Brain and the Golden Soul. And it's a book about spirituality. And what I'm trying to do is put the message out there that it behooves all of us to develop ourselves spiritually, because that's why we're here. We are spirit more than our physical body. We are spirits of light. That's what we're made of. And when we die, our spirits exit our body. And the brain of the spirit, like we have a brain for our physical body, is the soul. What I talk about, I've learned over the years from many books that I've read. I've focused on spirituality, near-death experiences that people have had, especially extraterrestrial phenomena, abductions, people who have had contact with extraterrestrials, and the information that they've gotten from them about who we are, what our place is in the universe. My friends, all of this, the universe, the material universe that we're a part of, is a manufactured reality. It is incredible. It is beautiful. It came out of nothing. Something out of nothing. That's why, really, the creator out there who created all of this is worthy of great praise. And really, praise is a form of love. It's the highest expression of love. When you say something good about somebody, you know, say, good job, or, hey, that was well done. You look really good today. You are so awesome. That is love that you're giving them. You thought about that before? And so, my friends, our spirit, how many out there believe in the spirit that's inside your body? When you dream at night, the spirit, with its spirit eyes, goes out there to the spirit land. And so our dreams are an expression of our spirit. It is the traveling of our spirit. The dreams that you remember are the adventures, the trips that your spirit has had, that you see with your spirit eyes. Not your physical eyes, because your physical eyes are closed. That makes sense? And so our spirits, they're made of light energy, my friends, billions of electrons. And what we're doing here on Earth is to grow our light. Yeah, grow our light. Did you get that? We are like a light bulb. Our spirits are like light bulbs. They emanate light. And the object really of us being here, of being a part of this material universe, is to grow our light. And we grow our light by the good things we do, the acts of kindness, the studying of spirituality. Religion is a way to do it. It's a stepping stone to evolve into what we want to become. So, what I'd like to do in this show, and it's really not a lot of time, I could talk for hours, my friends, about this. There is so much to talk about. All that I've learned, I want to share. And it's a beautiful day here. I'm standing outside of my patio in southwestern San Antonio, looking out behind our backyard at about a 24-acre park. And at this time of the year, the trees are starting to sprout their green leaves. And it's been at least a couple of months since they had any leaves. You know, we went through a pretty cold winter here in San Antonio. I can remember many days going to work in the morning, you know, getting in my car and seeing the thermostat in the car in the 30s. And so all these trees behind our backyard are sprouting their green leaves. And right now, I'd say the temperature is approximately 85 degrees. The sun's going down. I was talking with Doug there at BBS Radio, and we were talking about the weather, how it gets really hot here in summertime, but that's okay. I like hot weather. I was born and raised in Canada. You know, I lived in Barrie. I was born in Barrie, Ontario. I lived in Ottawa, the capital. I lived in New Brunswick, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Fredericton, and Oromocto in New Brunswick. Anyway, so the theme of my show today, and you know me, I branch off on whatever comes to mind. I talk about different things, all related to spirituality. And another good thing about having this show that I really like is I'm a public speaker. I'm a Toastmaster. I've given 3 speeches over the last month. I like to talk about esoteric subjects. Most people don't, really. It's kind of scary. But when you think about it, when you really think about it, what is more scary? The wars and the killing that we've had in our past? Or learning about our spiritual nature? What will happen when we die? So the theme today is heaven. What is heaven like? And by the way, I have some videos in YouTube. Lake Ruby, B-L-A-K-E-R-U-B-I-E. I just made 3 last week. I'm going to make some more. I've got some out there already of me singing, dancing. I like music. You know, I love music. But these videos I just posted last week, they're entitled Heaven is the Sun, There is a Mother God, and The Devil Works for God. And I think I might as well explain what I mean by that. And some of you who have heard my radio shows before may have heard me talk about each of those subjects and explain my rationale. And I'm a logical person. I think most people are, right? People pride themselves on their intelligence in this modern day society with technology the way it is. We are smart people, more so than ever before in the history of the world. We're getting smarter, more intelligent. We are logical people. And so, let me just touch briefly on all of those 3 videos. They're about 10 minutes each. The first one, Heaven is the Sun. My rationale for that is, the sun is more than just a ball of fire in the sky, my friends. It is a special fire. It's the fire of God. It's not like a fire that you can create with a match, you know. It is an eternal, almost eternal fire, because suns, as you know, will eventually burn out and go supernova or nova. But it's the spirit world. To understand that concept of what I'm talking about, you have to realize that we do have a spirit in our body. Once you accepted that truth, and I imagine if you're listening to my show, then you are a person who believes in life after death, and the spirit survives, you know, pops out of the body. There are different places where it can come out. I read about it at first in a book called Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady back in 1992 when I first started reading about near-death experiences. There are different exit points, but hopefully, you know, we die by natural causes, but sometimes there are accidents, and there are terminal illnesses. But anyway, so let me make a long story short. Let's say the spirit just comes out of the body, and it is made of light energy. So the spirit made out of light energy can exist in a fire, just like you've read about or heard about spirits living in hell and burning in lake fire, the fires of hell, which are real. That is beneath the surface of the earth. In the book, 23 Minutes in Hell, it talks about how this man went, forget his name, he went down beneath the surface of the earth, kind of like a dark tunnel, and there you have the absence of light. To be separated from God, to be separated from the light, is the ultimate punishment. And what he encountered there in the approximately descent of the earth was a terrible, terrifying, horrific situation. You know, those people who were murderers, rapists, verbal abusers, sexual abusers, physical abusers, people who are maybe non-believers, who don't do good, aren't good people, evil, if you will, wicked people. And yet there is a chance to reconcile. There is repentance. I don't believe in eternal damnation. But if someone wants to, say, die, and depending on what kind of person they are, they die suddenly and violently, then you have people known as ghosts. They do exist. They wander around the surface of the earth, and they don't know that they died, basically. And they interact in that environment in a different way. It is possible that they can communicate with the material universe. And this could happen. They could be like that for many, many years until finally they're released from that by maybe there's a preset time. Of course, the powers that be, the spirit mother and father in heaven, and all the angels, and those individuals who are ghosts, they have relatives who would still be looking out for their interests, you know. Yet there's a price to pay for the things we do. We're held accountable for all the actions that we commit or perform here on Earth. So then there are those who will transcend the surface of the Earth, will rise up into the what I call the lowest heaven, although Paul, from the Bible, he called it the second of, he had three heavens, didn't he? The first, second, and third. But then there's a place which is like a heaven above the cloud. This is according to my research, my beliefs. But the ultimate, the highest heaven, is the sun. So it's more than just a ball of fire. It is the spirit world, but the spirit can exist in the fire. Is that hard to believe? No. Come on, my friend. The spirit can exist in the fire. And you remember what that song by the Police? We are spirits in the material world. Yeah, makes sense. So when we get to heaven, hopefully, you know, if we've done everything well in our lives and we've thought about spirituality, basically, if we've developed ourselves spiritually enough, then we can ascend into the highest heaven. And I've read about many people who have been there and been brought back because it wasn't their time, or they were shown what it looked like so that they could come back and tell about it. And now, so more than ever before in the history of the world, the Creator of the universe and all the co-creator gods on suns and other galaxies, so solar systems and other galaxies throughout the universe. Well, let me go back. In our solar system in particular, we have a co-creator mother and father. And that's the subject of another video that I created last week. It's on YouTube. My friends, how can there be a a father without a mother. You can't have the word father alone implies, right, that there is a mother. You can't have a father without a mother. You can't have children without a father and a mother. In the Bible, they only talk about the Spirit Father. Well, how does the Spirit Father create children? Can you tell me that? Does he just think them and they come into existence? No. Like here on Earth, we have reproduction. It's a similar process in the spirit world. I won't go into the details, but I will say that I learned about it from a book by Sylvia Brown, the late great psychic. It's a process called merging of the spirit, where the spirits come together as one, and then they think the same thought, speak the word, and spirit matter materializes, comes into existence. That's how they create babies. So it's almost like a picture, if you will, two spirits, two entities coming together and becoming one. It's like the supreme creator of the universe is both male and female and can split his or herself into many parts. That's what we are. We have a little piece of the supreme creator of the universe in our spirit. In fact, that's what our soul is. The brain of our spirit is a little piece, an infinitesimal piece of the create, the master of the universe's spirit. Like a drop of water from the ocean of God's spirit. So you have these co-creator gods of all different solar systems in ours. Our spirit, mother, and father, they reside on the sun. They're on the sun. And the sun, once you look inside with your spirit eyes, what it looks like. And there are some really good books out there that talk about people who have had experiences there. Jesse Duplantis comes to mind. You know him, that televangelist. He has a church in New Orleans. And also there's a book called Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. That's one of the best. And there's one here I'm looking at called Revealing Heaven, by an eyewitness account. There's so many books on heaven that I've learned about them, you know, what it's like. So you might think, well, do I have a death wish or something? I'm learning about this. Well, I know people live their, they want to live their lives. They have jobs. They have families they need to look after, but you know, people are dying all the time. Driving to work each day, you know, it can be scary. I was driving to work last week. I mean, I've got 20 miles to go. And you have to navigate on those dangerous highways. You can't deny that that's true. They are so dangerous. People die all the time, you know. It's like we are riding on a prayer. By the grace of God, Lady Luck, for those that maybe don't believe in God as much as I do. So we have to be prepared. Plus, like I was saying, we are here to develop spiritually. Really, that's what we are here for. We are the children of our spirit, mother, and father in heaven, who are co-creator God. Then you have the supreme creator of the universe who's out there that created everything with the Big Bang. All this universe, material universe, space, dark energy, dark matter, the light that lights up that dark matter, dark energy, sun, the proliferation of light, the growing and expanding of light. Because at one time, we were spirits and souls that existed in heaven. And that was our pre-existence. We came from there. Yeah. Before you were born. And you don't remember, we don't remember much about that, do we? Yeah, we can only remember so much from, you know, after we were born. I think my first memories are when I was 2 years old. Isn't that amazing? Our brains and our eyes and our hearts were functioning for a couple of years, and we can't remember anything. But anyway, and we had no control of our birth, right? Although heaven did have control of our birth because that is what happens. For those that haven't read anything about it, it's really fascinating how all this, how this existence, our lives, were planned in advance. But then when we came to Earth, we crossed over what they call a river of oblivion, which wipes out any memories we've had of the pre-existence. So in fact, what that is like we were made to forget where we came from. It's built into our brain, hardwired, if you will. But the purpose of that is so that we can be a part of this material universe and complete our mission here on Earth. Each one of us has a mission that was given to us by, I believe, the Spirit Mother or the Spirit Father. When we do transition from this life into the next, we are basically more male and female, although we're part of both. I mean, we're a little bit of both, but predominantly more one than the other, if you know what I mean. So me, I think I'm a male spirit. And I see some people who are called gay. I see a male spirit inside a female body or a female spirit inside a male body. And the reason they do this is because they're either paying back karma for some wrong deeds that were done in the previous life to members of the opposite sex, or they just wanted to see what it's like. But my friends, these people who have the opposite spirit inside the body are great, courageous souls. And they're doing this to either pay back a karmic debt or just to see what it's all like. And so they're worthy of great respect. You know, they're trying to find their way, determine what's right and what's wrong, and still, you know, live a life that's enjoyable, where they can have fun and not be made fun of, you know. So for the people who are gay, please give them respect and admire their courage. Them, like us, they will determine what's right and what's wrong. They will have to answer for their deeds on Earth, held accountable, just like we will be. Still, love them, please. Gotta love everybody. So anyway, let me take you on a trip to heaven based on the knowledge I have of what it's like. And I referred previously to the book Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. You may go to heaven in a chariot. Yes, chariots exist. I've talked about this before in previous shows last year. You know that song by the Negro spiritual, by the way, I'm married to a black woman. My sister got married to a black man. We're English, too. English parents. How about that? But they are beautiful people who had the unfortunate experience or circumstances, as you know, what they went through, slavery, 300 years ago, and even now suffer from discrimination unfairly, if they're human beings like us. We're all human beings, you know. Our babies are the same. They're just different skin color, you know, and yet people will kill other people because of that. Doesn't make sense. But I understand it's all a process of evolution. We're going somewhere, you know. We want to live, right? We don't want to destroy ourselves. So, heaven, chariot. A chariot can take you there. Angels pilot chariot. Archangel Gabriel. I want to be taken to heaven by him in his chariot. I've made a special request that the day when I die, I want to be taken, God willing, you know, if I've been good enough, if I've developed myself spiritually enough, I will be taken to heaven in the chariot of Archangel Gabriel. So, yeah, remember that song, Swing Low, how's that? Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to take me home. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, they just didn't make that up, you know, out of nowhere. Oh, yeah, that's just, the word chariot just came to mind. No, somebody saw it happen in a dream or vision or somebody that came back from that, you know, were on the way there. If it wasn't their time, they came back. Or that God, when I say God, I mean either the Supreme Creator or the Spirit, Mother and Father, and both of them, because they're both worthy to be called God. They are God, co-creator gods. And so they gave them this vision of what, you know, little glimpse into the future of what it's like to die and then come back. So chariots are one way of getting to heaven. Angels can take you there. In the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, remember that book? A man was run over by a truck. He was seriously injured. You know, one arm hanging off, one leg hanging off. And so he found himself outside the gates of heaven. Yeah, there is a city inside heaven, but it's like a world on fire. I mean, it's a light. There is no sun to light the sun, if you know what I mean. It's on fire. So the light is there already, a world of light. And so you have a lot. It's huge, right? You can put 1,000 Earths into the sun. There is plenty of room there for everyone here on Earth, everyone that has existed before in the past, all the billions and billions of people that used to live here and died, all the different cultures. You get to see that when you get there. You have groups of people from these different cultures, all the famous people from the past, patriarchs of the Bible, disciples. Now, some people reincarnate. They go to other planets around the universe. Yes, there is life out there. I told you before about my rationale for why there is life. I'll say it again. I love talking about this because the logic is irrefutable. Now, I don't have a piece of evidence to give you to prove that there is life out there, but listen, and you know this, there's so much life here on Earth. It is a veritable paradise when it comes to all the different types of life. And it's a beautiful place to be, although it is an aggressive kind of world. There's over 1 million types of insects, 26,000 types of fish. Now, I won't go into the details. All the birds, the reptiles, the amphibians, the mammals, thousands and thousands, different types of bodies. Incredible little bodies, some that can fly, some, they all have eyes, intricate, detailed, complex eyes that work perfectly, reproductive systems, metabolism, little bodies, because God is a body maker, right? And if all this life here on Earth happened by accident, it's logical to assume that it could happen by accident elsewhere in the universe. That is logical, irrefutable. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to burst anyone's bubble, but hey. But if there is a creator, a beautiful, omnipotent, omniscient creator, then isn't it logical then to assume that with the power and knowledge that the creator has, that the creator could make either the same or different life elsewhere? Also elsewhere in the universe? Yeah, that's logical. So there is life out there. But anyway, back to heaven. Okay, so let's say you've made it, you've done well in this existence, this life. You might die at a ripe old age of 90, but die tomorrow. I just heard that song, Dream On by Aerosmith. Dream on, dream on, dream until your dreams come true. Sing with me, sing for the years. Sing for the laughter, sing for the tears. Sing with me, if just for today, maybe tomorrow, the good Lord will take you away. That's true. Tomorrow, the good Lord can take you away. Every life, every day that we exist here on earth is a miracle, a God-given miracle, because we're not in control of when we go. I believe in destiny, you know, it's predetermined. And we have a mission to perform, like I mentioned. But let's say you, my friend, you, yes, you, sometime in the future, you pass away, and you're in Archangel Gabriel's chariot, on your way to heaven, speeding through the atmosphere, you pass through the lowest heaven, you see all the beautiful, pristine, crystalline structures there, all the buildings, studying that's going on, the higher learning, people who used to live here on Earth now passed away up there, trying to make it to the highest heaven. You continue going through the clouds, exit the Earth's atmosphere, and start speeding through outer space, going towards that light at the end of the tunnel, kind of, passing by different planets, Venus, Mercury. And so then you land on that beautiful world of light. Oh, it is so beautiful. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, it's like you're back on Earth, but everything is more colorful. The colors are more intense. You look around, everything's the same, basically. You have trees, you have mountains, you have water there, lakes, rivers, oceans, seas, fields, beautiful flowing fields, grass, green, green, beautiful green grass. The colors, oh, so intense from what I hear. And so you get off the chariot, and you stand on the ground of heaven. You've made it. Your past life is in the past. You have made it to heaven. You've done well. You might not have performed your mission perfectly, and you will have a life review of what you accomplished on Earth, the spirituality that you developed, how you evolved, and the Spirit Mother and Father could be there. Jesus could be there. Angels, elders from the, you've heard about the elders, the 24 elders that sit around the throne room. They're there, the very wise and beautiful spirits and souls that they are. And you will have a life review, and it can happen in many different shapes and many different ways, like you say. Could be like a hologram, could be like in a TV monitor. Could be like in a movie theater kind of situation, and it goes by so quickly. You see everything that you've done, everything, how you interacted with people, the good that you brought out of people, the bad. If you've hurt someone, you feel how they felt. You can remember how you felt at that time, and then you can also see it from your viewpoint, looking at it. So you can see it from three different viewpoints. From looking at your life review, the way you were, like back in your body, and from, let's say, if you got into a fight with someone and you punched him, maybe a boy, you know, when you were young. I never punched anybody. Someone punched me. I've been punched a few times in the face, in the body. I've got a black belt, Taekwondo, too, which I got when I was in Korea with the U.S. Army. And so, you know, I used to get sparring. I wasn't to tournaments before. But anyway, so let's say you punch this young boy. Well, you could feel the pain and the emotions that they felt at the time. That's what a life review is all about. But anyway, so you land in heaven, you look around, there's people everywhere. You're redeemed. And there is no more pain. There's only joy. There's laughter. Everyone is having a good time. It's like a party, a continuous party. But praising God, praising the Creator, the Creator of our soul and spirit are there. And all of a sudden, all these memories start coming back. You remember your pre-existence, that you were actually here, there before, And you're so caught up in this. The memories of your past life here on Earth are slowly slipping away. You don't have too much concern about loved ones that you've left behind. Now this it is overwhelming at the time. And then you might see some relatives that you knew, others maybe that you didn't know. They come around. They've been expecting you, so you get there on time. And it's a grand reunion. You're hugging and kissing each other and laughing and joy. No more worry. No more worrying about time. No more worrying about bodily functions. No more worrying about sleep. You're there. You look around and you see all the beauty. You see the river of life. And then you might be approached by Father Abraham. Like in the book, Jesse DePlante's book called Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. When he got there, he had a little glimpse of heaven, right? He was approached by Father Abraham. He said he was like a big barrel-chested man. And he gave him a golden goblet filled with water from the River of Life. He said, drink. This will help clear some of the impurities of the past life. So you drink that water, and then maybe later go bathe in the River of Life or in one of the oceans there, the seas. It's just like here on Earth. If I can compare it for you, I would say, remember those Polaroid cameras that we used to have? They don't make them anymore. Take a picture. Hi, Rosie. I got one of our dogs has just come out the patio. Okay, go ahead. Go on. Go on. It's okay. You want to go outside? Come on. Come on. Come on. It's okay. So remember how you take a picture with a Polaroid camera, and at first it would be like dark, and then the colors would start coming into bright, you know, it would start getting clearer, and it would get brighter. And so Earth is like the negative, and the sun, heaven, is like positive. I mean, like, now here comes the other dog, these two dogs. And there's so much going on there, Kevin. There are get-togethers. There are lectures, concerts, a lot of activities. All the streets are paved with gold, that's true. There's chariots everywhere, angels everywhere. How about that? Angels everywhere. All kinds of angels. Different types of angels. They're all walking around, interacting with the redeemed, the spirits and souls of people who used to be alive here on Earth. And so there are many, 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 many miles of this land, beautiful land. But there's also the city, the holy city, surrounded by the walls and the pearly gates. It talks about it in the Bible. And then inside, once you get inside the city, and you have to be prepared to get inside the city. You have to be spiritually developed enough, because it's all about growing your light. As I mentioned before, your light bulb, for lack of a better way of describing it, the light bulb of your soul and spirit, grows. And that will be so evident when you finally come face to face with your Creator. Oh, by the way, I heard that Stephen Hawking passed away this week. And I just hope that he is, I know that he will be in his body, his spirit and soul. I don't know if he, I'm assuming he's going to be in heaven, even though he was an atheist, but I know that he had to suffer a lot, you know, because of the disease he had, and he was bitter about that. But I hope that he's in a glorified body, and he's joyful now, looking young, and maybe regretting that he didn't believe some things that he should have believed in. But I know he was a brilliant man. He thought about great, great concepts of the universe, including black holes and and, you know, everything that's out there. And so my hope is that he is in this redeemed body, you know, enjoying what it's like to be young again and be able to free of that disease. Well, that's all I would say. I don't want to say anything negative about him, but anyway, so you get to meet all these people that have existed here on Earth before. You can meet past presidents. Oh, I mean, anyone you can think of that used to live here, except for, as I mentioned, the ones who have reincarnated, gone on to other lives in the process of their soul's journey to evolve, because that's what we're supposed to do. You can live many, many lives, reincarnate many, many lives before you finally achieve what you need to achieve, what God's mission is for you. And let me break it down to you this way. In the universe, there are what is known as categories of planets. And they're all on a scale from 1 to 9 based on evolution. So number 1 would be of the lowest evolutionary category, and number 9 would be of the highest. So Earth, unfortunately, is the number 1, which means that there's a lot of war and killing going on because it's an aggressive planet, if you will. A lot of the life here eat each other, you know. I've mentioned this before. There's a 1,001 ways to die, you know, lightning, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, volcanoes exploding. I mean, drive people dying on the freeways, getting shot all the time. Well, the war and killing continues, although not so much. I watched The Darkest Hour by Winston Churchill last weekend, and it's amazing to think that the Nazi Empire was very close to conquering the whole world, if you will. If they'd done a couple of things differently, they could have done that. And then, my friends, things, because if they'd taken England, right, they were ready to conquer all of Europe. And then if they'd beaten England, you know, with overwhelming military might, which they could have done very easily, if they hadn't evacuated the British Army out of Dunkirk. My father was there. My father was an English man with the British Army in World War II. He was also at Normandy. If they hadn't evacuated 300,000, basically the whole British Army, then I doubt that England would have prevailed. They would have lost, and they would have had to eventually surrender to the Nazis. And then once the Nazis had done that, the U.S. wasn't going to get involved, right? Because when Churchill asked Roosevelt for help, he said, "Hell, can't do it. Sorry, we got a treaty. We can't break that treaty." So the Nazis would have built up their power. They were on the verge of developing the A-bomb, just like we were working on it at the time. And they were, from what I heard, from what I've read, they were very, 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 very close to developing it before we did. And it would have been a different game altogether, so to speak, right? If they had developed the A-bomb before we did, because they would have started using it right away. They already had those rockets that they were able to send to England. My mother used to see some. She said she went through the bombing of London. The apartment that she lived in was bombed. She got out of there in time, fortunately. I think she was in a bomb shelter when it happened, actually, because they all would run to the bomb shelters when they heard the sirens go off. Can you imagine living in an environment like that, knowing that somebody's trying to kill you? It makes you bitter. You know, my parents were beautiful people, but they were bitter about that. You know, they were born right after World War I. And so they had a tough time. They really did. And they smoked and they drank. And that was the way to kind of numb the pain, if you will. But getting back to heaven. So then they have peace all the time. tables laid out in grand style with beautiful silverware. There's a lot of silver and gold, my friend, everywhere. You heard about the streets paved in gold? Well, it is true. And gold is everywhere. And the colors, all the beautiful things you can think about, some of the houses that are there, and you will have your own mansion. So that should be enough incentive. And for me, I know it's a struggle to think about, you know, making a lot of money here on Earth. What I would do if I won the lottery, you know, millions of dollars. But it says in the Bible that, you know, treasures will be stored up for you in heaven if you are a good person and you do good deeds of kindness and you say good things and you help your fellow man, then you will have a beautiful, beautiful house. Everything that you could wish for, hope for inside your house, marble floors, gold inlaid wood. In the marble floors, there's roses. What I've read, and quite a few books talk about it, Inside Heaven's Gate by Rebecca Springer, Inside Heaven's Gate, or is it Gate? I forget. The other book I was telling you about, Paradise of Jose and the Glory of the Throne, Heaven by Jesse DePlantis. Other book, their titles won't come to mind right now, but there is all the beautiful things that you could hope for that rich people have here on Earth can have there. If you want a log cabin, a beautiful little rustling brook, you know, that goes by the house with fish inside there, and you want maybe 20 acres of land, you can have that. There's plenty of room in heaven. And then, of course, you're interacting with your deceased relatives all the time. There's angels. And then you might be paid a visit by Jesus. And I'm talking about the Jesus who died on the cross. And he is one of the greatest spirits there alongside the Spirit Mother and Father. Jesus, in my opinion, is what he went through here on Earth. I've talked about this in another radio show before in the past. And the long story, I don't have time right now to get into who Jesus actually was, but in my opinion, he came from a planet of the higher category. Per the book I read called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Now, the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem was different. He went away at age 14 to he left the area. You know, it's true that between the age of 14 and 30, there wasn't much said or written about what Jesus did during that time. But that's another story, my friends. I've talked about it before, and I don't want to talk about it now. But remember the movie Avatar? Remember those blue bodies? How they put themselves inside the blue bodies and basically made that body work. They actually created those blue bodies. So it's possible to create a human body too. Kind of the same principle. Take a spirit and soul and put it inside a body, like an avatar. You do that with humans too. And that is what Jesus who died on the cross was. Very evolved, highly evolved soul and spirit came here to help out at a very difficult time on Earth when there was a lot of negativity and depravity and darkness going on, bestiality, killing, raping. We needed some direction at the time, and so it worked. All these centuries later, we're still talking about what Jesus did, all the miracles. He walked on the water. He fed the 5,000 people, you know, with just some fish and some bread. How did he do that? Well, it wasn't like magic, you know. I think he was aided by these extraterrestrials from the planet he came from. Walking on water could be nothing more than a tractor beam from the spaceship up above. ascending in the end, after the resurrection, the ascension, technology. Also, raising Lazarus from the dead, technology has something to do with that. Or maybe if you want to stay in your fantasy land and not really know anything about how it worked, you know, the knowledge that was required to do that, then you can stay there, or you can seek the truth. It's all about the truth, my friend. What is the truth? I want to go back to what I said at the beginning about we've been running out of time. As I mentioned, I can talk for hours. I could be like Rand Paul and, what's her name? I forgot her name. But they talked for like 8-9 hours, you know, when they had that filibuster the last time they passed that continuing resolution. Anyway, so, yeah. Going back to heaven. And the activity. Martin Luther King, great minds. There's a hall of great minds, too. Buildings, all these incredible buildings that are built there. Each one, which may have specific areas of interest, you know, like libraries, where you can look back upon the history of the world, see what happened. And then the life there, there's animal life that exists there in heaven. Even lions, yes. And cats and dogs. And so if you lost an animal, a pet, you know, you'll see them again. They're in heaven. Assuming you make it, right? You got our big dog has come out here in the patio. Come on, doctor, come on. Come on, buddy. So I got to walk around him. He's so big. And, you know, the concerts, they have concerts, they have huge stadiums there, auditoriums, music is played, angels are everywhere, angels participate. I'm having a good time just talking about this, you know, because I want my light to shine, my friend, you know. And when you come face to face with the Spirit Mother and Father, whether you're a male spirit or a female spirit, one thing you notice about them is that their light shines so, so bright. The glory and the brilliance of their spirit washes over you. And if you're not sufficiently developed enough to withstand that glory and that brilliance, then you won't, you'll be like, you can't stand up. You'll have to lie prostrate. And so that tells you, you know, when you look at the sun, I'm looking at the sun right now, very bright. You can't look at it for a long time, right, without going blind or hurting your eyes. But the eyes of the spirit are different than that. They can take in that brightness, that brilliance. And so that's what it's like when you come face-to-face with the creator of your soul and spirit, your mother and father in heaven. Well, let me just touch briefly on what I mentioned, the devil works for God. Okay. I impressed upon you earlier how logical I am, and you are logical too. So, let me throw it to you this way. If you believe in the devil that supposedly rebelled from heaven and then has power equal to God, then you're not acknowledging that the Creator is omniscient and omnipotent and knows everything that will happen in advance and wouldn't create something that he, she didn't want to have happen. Right? Logical? So why would the Creator create a being who he would know in advance was going to rebel, which he wouldn't want to have happen, and then have power and authority equal to God? No. It's not logical. My friends, I've just been told I have 1 minute left. Time hits fly. I've given you a little glimpse of heaven, and now next week I'm going to talk about a planet that belongs to an extraterrestrial race, whereas they're a planet number 9 on the evolved category, evolutionary ladder. So, my friend, until next time, I wish you all peace and happiness. May God bless you. May God help you in any way you need it. May God bless us, everyone, right? All God's children, every single one. May God bless us, everyone. I love you. Please love each other. Take care, and I will talk to you 2 weeks from today. Goodbye.